Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. As always, it's an honor and privilege to be here. We're in an incredible time to be alive, to see what God is doing, things that the prophets looked for are starting to happen now. And there's a new shift that is going on in the kingdom of God, and we get to be a part of it. Tonight it's going to be John and I, and I'll call on some others. I'm calling you Pastor, Mr. President. President Jim Geiger's got something to share. We're going to call on some others for prayer as we go. First of all, I want to go back to our calendar and lift up the Lord. And I hope that everybody has did print down the calendar and has looked at it. This past week was talking about his armor and prayer and how important that is. It's only a snippet of about a 10-page prayer guide that I've done years ago, and I keep continually updating it. And then talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then going into the weekend with Hebrews and talking about Melchizedek, which we've been going into. So let me go into prayer, and then we will talk some about the calendar, and then I'm going to have John lead us off. But we're going to begin with the shofar that I heard this weekend. John's listened to it. It was one of the most powerful that I'd heard, and I literally doubled over in the kitchen as I was listening to this presentation and call. And you can watch it on the internet. And the anointing that came on this and the teaching that was on this, I recommend anybody that can to go to gloryofzion.org and look at the 7:30 service on Mother's Day. So, John, the sound of the shofar.
We're going to do something. We're going to create an echo. Because in Exodus 19, when the shofar blew, it says there was a violent echoing sound.
Oh.
It says the same thing in Acts chapter 2. The English translates a mighty wind, but it was really a mighty echoing. It was the shofar sound. Think of it this way, God blowing his sound and you being the echo wall that receives it, so that the sound that comes out of his mouth will be the same sound that comes out of your mouth. And the ways that come out of him will be the same ways that come out of you. That's what's happened in these lands.
Now give a shout back.
Woo! Glory. Lord, we just come right now seeking you as Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seeking you for all the fullness of the Godhead, that you would pour your Spirit out upon us and pray, take us to the place of thine anointing. Take us to the secret place, O Lord, that we can partake of your precious word, your way, and your will. That the host of heaven would join us. They'd encompass us, and bring a fresh anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Lord, what an honor and a privilege it is to be in your presence. We're in a nation where we can still do that, and in some cities it's becoming difficult. Hearing the testimony of Jean Hertler last week and how the government tried to take her children, how the enemy tries to come in and take away the word of God, how he's tried to take your name off of every monument and take down every cross in this nation. Lord, let your shofar sound. Let the reverberation of your glory be heard. Let the vibration go forth that created everything. Pour out your Spirit upon us and allow us to sit in the midst of your presence this night, that you would receive the glory as we praise you and give you thanks in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, when I first heard that, just as I said a moment ago, I literally doubled over I love Alan and his teachings, and he hit on several things. I don't know if any of you recall some of the things I've said in the last couple of weeks, and I've spoken it to people, individuals, that we're coming to the time where we're literally going to speak God. And somebody asked me, what do you mean? I says, we're going to reverberate the sound of God. And that reverberation was the creative sound that created the universe, created man and woman, created everything. Vibration holds all molecules together, and we're formed by different vibration that God uses in the spirit realm and then in the physical. Without that vibration, that sound, we would literally just disperse. We'd break apart into molecules. And God is saying, as we speak God, as Alan just says, we speak the Lord, we're literally going to see things happen in this future and near future that has been prophesied. When we read from Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation and the prophets, there's going to be rebirth. There's going to be the dry bones coming alive again. There's going to be literally limbs growing, people being healed, cancer being dissolved, all types of diseases dispersing. There's going to be literally finances being poured out from unexpected places. There's going to be blessings that is going to overtake us because we're going to hear and know and recognize the sound of God. And that vibration, that glory, is going to bring the anointing and presence of God and change the atmosphere physically around us. Watch and see. It's coming. This week was an incredible week in the scriptures, and I'm going to go back to the calendar for a moment before I turn it over to John. We were teaching on Melchizedek several weeks ago, and we'll continue to teach on that, and we're going to be going into the books, as I talked about, from Katie Sousa. And I did get a few in. If somebody cannot afford one, I'll be glad to send you one. It's Healing the Wounded Soul by Katie Sousa. What a blessing. I was talking to a lady that called me up this week, called Tuesday morning, and you don't know how many people listen to our call, and John and I get to see it. I get a printout every week. We get often as many people call in as we do listen in, and some of those are actually churches, prayer groups, intercessors. And immediately Tuesday morning, I got a phone call. She'd gotten up at 5:30 her time and ended up calling Monty to get my phone number and calling me to prophesy over me, something she doesn't do. But God told her to, because we're going in the right direction. We're breaking through. God is hearing our cry, hearing our prayers. And I want to encourage each and every one of you. We're in a time and a season where we're doing what we're supposed to do. Now, Eric's joined us tonight, and Eric talked to me, I don't know, 2 years ago. You got to start revival. And I said, I'm not ready yet. God hadn't told me that, because he told me to train up the bride. Well, now the season of revival is coming upon us because the bride is being trained up. And we're going into that season of revival, and it's going to be the greatest harvest that the world has ever seen. And we're starting to see many of the things. We might not agree with the corporate government and what goes on there, but we have to look at what God says, But God. There's a wonderful book, by the way, called But God. God did put Trump in the office. You know, he raises up kings and takes down kings. And he's allowed many things to be restored. And part of it is how we worship in this nation, where they were saying this is not a Christian nation. We're saying, once again, it is a Christian nation. So in going back to Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, Abraham met him when he returned from the slaughter of the kings, of those that had taken Lot and all the spoils. And Abraham went out against several kings with, 318 men? It's off the top of my head. I'm not looking it up right now, so bear with me.
Yes.
And he met the king of Salem, king of righteousness, Melchizedek, who was without mother or father, so that had to be the Lord, and what the Catholics call a Christophany. It was a pre-incarnate of Christ. And he offered to him the spoils. And Melchizedek, in Genesis 7, 18 through 20, king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment, for he was the priest of the Most High, and he blessed Abram. And he said that he would make that the possessor of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth, was blessing him because he was speaking for him. And literally, God blessed him in such a way that it reestablished the land that he was going to have and the boundaries for his future. And the season that we're in right now is the season of the transference of wealth, property, and everything that Yahweh has promised us. And they might not look like it, but our future inheritance is at our door. And we can see it and possess it if we're willing to step in. God is saying, come up, listen to the sound. That's why when Alan spoke that just prior to the blowing of the shofars, and that was two shofars echoing off each other. It was the very thing that I've been teaching for the last 2 weeks to people and even on our calls, and it just resounded in me, and the Spirit of God, it just drew me in, and I doubled over with the anointing and almost went to the floor, and I said, my God, what a powerful word that you're sending out in the sound of the shofar. So it's very important what we do. That sounding of the shofar is important. And in Israel, it's yesterday over there now, today for us, with the reestablishment of Jerusalem, it's already, you know, they already have it, but we recognize it, and the moving of our embassy there as the capital of Israel is significant. It's the 70th year. So we're in the 70th, and we're in a jubilee year, we're in the 70th year. There's so many things going on, and God is saying, do not be ignorant of what day it is. The Lord says one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one, and God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count it. But he's long-suffering towards us because he's waiting on us, not willing that any should perish, and that's the call to repentance, and that is that great harvest that's being prep to be poured out. Now, we're drawn into worship, and John's going to talk about that. On the 13th, it was Acts 17:23-34, it talks about Paul, and he says, many are drawn away from true worship and worshiping man, and literally today technologies are themselves, and it's all in vain. For while Paul was passing through and examining objects of worship in Ephesus, he found an altar inscribed to an unknown god. Therefore, what you worship is ignorance. For this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of God of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor served by human hands. So read that scripture. Look at what he's saying there. You know, he says, for this reason, for this also, we are his children. Being the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by art. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through the man whom he appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead, this man being Jesus Christ. So today, we need to recognize this is a time of great harvest and repentance. We're entering into a season of the Holy Spirit as we go into the week of Pentecost. This is the week of feast. We celebrate the season of Pentecost, and this coming Sunday, we're going to have a Pentecost service. I've already talked to Matt about it. John and I will be doing what we're going to do about it, and this is a time when we're going to celebrate Holy Spirit. But in the same time, we need to recognize that the keys of authority were given from the kingdom of heaven. And this is where, literally, Matthew 16:19, he was talking to Peter. He said, I'll give you the keys, the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, will have already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose, permit, and declare lawful on earth, will be already loosed in heaven. So what God is saying, this is the time and the season of binding and loosening to bring about the harvest. There appeared to be many tongues resembling fire, which were poured out upon all the people that were in the portico. porta. I've lost my word, John. What is it called?
Portico.
Portico is what I was trying to say. And it was the Holy Spirit, and that was just what Alan was saying a minute ago. It was the trump of heaven that they heard, and then they start hearing the sounds of everybody speaking in their own languages, different tongues and languages, because the Spirit fell upon them. So I want to encourage you. We're in the time and the season of the shift. We're in the time of Pentecost. We're in the time of that sound coming from heaven. And many saw months ago, we sent it out, posted it on Facebook and other places, the peculiar cloud formations in the heavens. There were circles of clouds, and out of those clouds were sounds of trumpets. And they were heard many places, but particular over Jerusalem. It was at the beginning of the year, back in September. That sound was being reverberated, and that sound is coming again. It's coming to the world. And we have to literally recognize that the prophetic word of God is being poured out. Signs, wonders, miracles are taking place, and we're in that season. We're in the season going into the trump. And that's what God is using. So this is a day that God is giving us an opportunity to receive his blessings. We're going to benefit from the great move if we step into faith. And we have to step into faith recognizing that God's hand is on the world right now. All we hear negative junk that the news wants to portray. It's like right now you can read all of the accomplishments of Trump from the Christian newscast, but you can't hear any of it on the regular newscast. And God is saying it's just like his word. In India, 4 million people in the last 2 years have come to the Lord, because I'm involved in the ministry of that. When I got to meet Bishop Kokar, that President Geiger introduced me to him, and I went to spend time with him. 150 churches were raised up through his ministry in Pakistan, where they are killing Christians right and left. And God is saying, do not pay attention to what the negative impact of the news is. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Position yourself in faith so you can walk through the doors of opportunity before you. Because it's his desire that we can receive that which he's promising. And he's promising an outpouring that is beyond anything that has been seen or understood. And there are people receiving the blessings of the finances that are being poured out. And he said, well, it hadn't got to me yet. Well, there's a trickle-down effect, and we are in line to receive those things in the kingdom. I know that President Geiger and I have been working with people. Mel's joined us on the phone. Him and I have been working with people where they've actually seen the accounts. And in the accounts, it shows wealth beyond imagination has been transferred into their accounts, and they're trying to access those accounts. And they've been stopped by the deep state and by the enemy. And the enemy, I'm talking about satanic influence, but God. So as we go into this time and season of God's outpouring from Passover to Pentecost, we're living in the most historical, incredible times in modern history. So we got Israel's 70th year of independence. We've got the 50-year jubilee. We've got the capital being recognized as Jerusalem. We've got the American embassy being established. We're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles around the world. Technologies are coming forth that are beyond anything we've seen. And more importantly, we're seeing prayer fulfilled. And Father, I want to thank you for this timing of where we are, that we're in part of the final move of your Spirit on the kingdom. The enemy is being overcome, and you're letting your glory show through, and we get to be a part of it. Lord, allow us to see it, hear it, taste it, feel it, sense it, recognize the reverberance of the sound of the kingdom as it's poured out upon us. Lord, one of the prophets came out today and said, it is a time and season where God is reestablishing the tabernacle of David. Chuck Pierce even said that Sunday. He says, this is a new day breaking, and we're going to see a covenant shift like we've not seen before. The gates have been opened. And we're going to understand authority and alignment as never before. It's the beginning of beginnings. It's the prototypes of beginnings. It's the time for spring where we garden. It's the time for Israel's covenant and with America and Israel coming together. It's the time for the revealing of the ark of his glory. It's a time for his kingdom to be presented. It's a time when the first fruits of his glory are going to be revealed like never before. It's a time when the nations are going to have to stand up and take notice. It's a time when the apostolic structure of the church is reestablished and people are seeing it and starting to recognize it. It's a time for David's tabernacle to be restored. And John's going to talk about these things. Bill Johnson did a book years ago, John. I don't know if you have it or not. I've got it. It's unfortunately packed. But he talked about the tabernacle of Moses, and his second book was the tabernacle of David. And it was all about the time that we're in now. And he wrote it probably 30 years ago, at the beginning of his ministry. But John has got some strong words of wisdom. I'm going to talk more about Pentecost in just a few moments and what God is saying about the signs and times that we're in. President Geiger's got some words, and I surrender now to John Rockwell.
Well, good evening, everybody. Going to start out with a song tonight, a song of worship, kind of where Matt left things last week. We did a song, and he ended with a song, actually, of silence before the Lord. And so I'm going to go ahead and sing a song at the beginning and end of the piece that I have tonight. And then there's a few words and the tie-in to what Wade's been talking about, David's tabernacle and worship. So here is the Lord in his holy temple. If you know it, to go ahead and sing with me. I'm just going to sing the first phrase of it and then go into what I have to bring tonight as far as teaching. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Keep silent. Keep silent, keep silent before him. And of course, we're talking about Jehovah. Just see what he says for just a moment of silence here. Well, I know some of the words that I've got in my study this week to prepare for tonight. One word came from Holly Watson. The power to gain wealth, the angels are handing out keys to redeem time and to redeem wealth. And there's a lot of that happening. Wade again touched on that. And it's all a part of God's kingdom. And I was kind of stuck on David this past week and his tabernacle. And again, Wade touched on it. I'll touch on it a little bit, and I think he's going to touch on it again after I'm done. It said that when David brought the ark to Jerusalem and set it on Zion, he established 24/7 worship. In other words, he had thousands of worshipers worshiping on rotation. Many of them took an hour, and then there'd be more taking another hour until the full 24 hours was taken by all these worshipers. And I didn't verify this via scripture, but what I was reading in the book that John Dixon wrote from Glory of Zion, along with Chuck Pierce, that they had the 24/7 worship for 40 years while David's reign was in Jerusalem. And that, again, kind of got me thinking about worship, about 24/7 worship. And I remember reading months ago, and I touched on it probably several years ago, a book that that Robert Heidler wrote called The Messianic Church Arising had a story of a little community in Germany called Herrnhut that established 24/7 worship. And I'm just going to take this directly out of the book just so you understand exactly what happened there. And then I'm going to give you several revelations that have come to my mind this week about what we're talking about here as far as 24/7 worship. One of the greatest revivals in modern history, and this goes back to the mid-1500s, so the past 500 years, began in a little village in Germany called Herrnhut. Robert Heidler has visited Herrnhut. Even today, it's a very small village in eastern Germany, hard to find on the map. Yet something took place there that literally shook the world. And shook is just not a very strong word. It impacted the whole world, including our country. And it'll be explaining that in a little more depth as I go on here. In the early 1700s, a group of Moravian refugees came into Germany fleeing the 30-year war in the native Moravia. German nobleman Count Nicholas von Zinderdorf gave them permission to settle in the state, and they founded the village called Herrnhut. Herrnhut quickly became a haven for Protestant refugees all across Europe. There is a great deal of division and strife between the various factions in Herrnhut, so Count Zinderdorf invited the entire village to come together and have a communion service at the Lutheran church in the nearby village of Bendorfdorf. That service was held in August 13, 1727. As the Moravian crowds into the church, Zinderdorf climbed on the stairs' high pulpit and began to serve. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit fell. No one present in that service ever told exactly what happened, except to say the place was filled with signs, wonders, and miracles. They left the place changed. Strife and confusion were gone. They burned with love for Jesus and each other, and a passionate commitment to reach the world. God has invaded Herrnhut. In the days that followed, the outpouring of the leaders met to discuss what to do next. Uppermost in their minds was the question of how to keep the presence of God in their midst. They didn't want to lose what they had received. In the midst of this, Zinderdorf remembered God's instruction about the tabernacle. He said, we must keep the fire on the altar. In response to this directive, the Moravians divided up day and night into watches and started 24-hour prayer at Herrnhut. As they continued to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt in their midst. The Moravians continued the cycle of 24-hour prayer for over 100 years. Years, if you can believe that. The result of the prayer meeting sounds like something out of the book of Acts. For this little village of Herrnhut, missionaries were sent out all over the world. At that time, the churches in Europe sent out an average of one missionary for every 5,000 churches, or for every 5,000 members. In Herrnhut, it was one missionary for every 60 church members. Within a few years, their missionaries from Herrnhut were in North America, South America, Greenland, South Africa, among the Aborigines in Australia, and even Tibet. One Moravian convert was a young Englishman named John Wesley. Wesley was saved through the ministry of the Moravians at Herrnhut. Shortly after his salvation, Wesley traveled to Herrnhut. He caught the revival and brought it back to England, where it became known as the Evangelical Revival or the Wesleyan Revival. It literally changed the nation. Many thousands were saved. Slavery was abolished. Drunkenness and crime dramatically decreased. And many historians feel this revival probably saved England from the same kind of bloody revolution that France endured. And this part is the interesting part, and it really hits home to what we're doing as far as people in the Republic. The Moravians at Herrnhut continue to lift up their continual sacrifice of prayer. Revival spread throughout the world. Men like George Whitefield brought the revival across the Atlantic to America, where it was called the First Great Awakening. Revival swept the American colonies. Churches' attendance doubled. Benjamin Franklin described the effect of the Great Awakening this way. From the beginning, thoughtless and indifference about religion, it seemed as if the world was going religious. One could not walk through town in an evening without hearing psalms sung and from different families in the street. The revival changed the face of America. Most of the men involved in writing the Constitution were men whose lives had been dramatically changed by the Great Awakening. America owns, in part, of its godly foundation to the group of Moravians in the village of Herrnhut who prayed the price to keep the fire on the altar. God always desires his presence and power to dwell among his people. God's word to us is the same word given to the Jews. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25:8. The church is to be a sanctuary of living stones where God is continually enthroned on praises of his people. Out of his presence dwelling among us flows the supernatural power to change the world. And my thought was that we need to start that in this country, and my even greater thought was that needs to start back where David's tabernacle was on Mount Zion. And I know Wade gave me and he can speak to this more than I can because we just spoke about it briefly this afternoon. This happened in America, and I know Dutch Sheets talked about it, and I got to do more research, and I'll probably bring that at a later time as part of our worship. But it wasn't quite, you know, over 100 years like this one at Herrnhut was, but it could happen in America. And I believe that it is going to happen because God is not finished with America as we speak. So again, we're going to go back into praise here with the Lord's in his holy temple. And again, if you know it, go ahead and sing with me. I may not be able to hear you. We may not be able to stay together, but that's okay. God still loves the praise of his saints and his people. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Keep silent. Keep silent. Keep silent before him, Jehovah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this time to just to learn about your history. And history is a great part of what we need to know. David used history when he was battling Goliath. And we want to use our history, whether it be a close history or history back into the 1500s or even back to the early church in Acts. It's all history. We can use that history to build on and to get synergy of the ages rebuilt and continue to build your church and your kingdom on this earth. And we just praise you and thank you for giving us this time tonight to come before you with our praise and thanksgiving. And we especially want to show our excitement about the celebration in Jerusalem. We want to pray for Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, especially with all the things that have been happening that you have orchestrated through President Trump and through Netanyahu and others to bring Jerusalem back to the Israelis and to bring the embassy of America to Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish people. Just want you to bless everybody involved with that, the celebration that's going on, that things will be peaceful and that things will continue to be celebrated because you're in the midst of it. You're the one that is orchestrating the whole thing. And we just want to thank you for that. And we thank you for Jesus, your son, and your spirit as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As I was saying, we are in incredible times. Angela Grinning out of Washington did a wonderful job this morning with the word. And it was talking about the very things that I've been talking about, the 70th year of independence. And when we look at what God is doing, and I know some of you are sensitive about, you know, you don't like the corporate government. I don't either. At the same time, I have to look at what God is doing. Trump is the man that God has in office right now, so I just want to reflect on it for a second. When he won the election, it had already been prophesied by many prophets around the world that he would, when nobody even thought that he had a chance. But his name, he was christened Donald, which means great chief, mighty warrior. Out of French, it means trumpeter or to blow the trumpet. Same thing in Israeli. It's a sound of preparing the way for God's King Jesus. Not that Trump's the king, it's just that Jesus is the king, and God is putting men into place around the world that are recognizing the godly covenant. Even with what's happened in North and South Korea, do I expect it to go smoothly? Absolutely not. I do not expect it to go smoothly. You've got a crazy man in office over there. At the same time, he said that he's going to allow Christians into the nation. That's going to be interesting to see what God's doing. Around the world, things are shaking. Look at Hawaii. Today it was reported that 11 new fissures broke loose where the eruption was taking place throughout the island. Everywhere around the world, things are shaking. They expect these type of things to happen in America. And it's kind of gets you worried a little bit, but at the same time, you got to trust in God. God is saying he's aligning us with Israel for some reasons. It's ordained, as, you know, the 70th year. And today, particularly, because of the day, it represents the Day of Covenant. So when you look back at Adam to Abraham, the 1948 years, in 1948 came around again, and Israel became accepted and recognized as its own state again, and we're celebrating the 70th year of independence this year and at this time. It was an end-time reformation of a final harvest, a great outpouring, the harvest that's coming about, the revival that's coming about. So we're on a divine timeline, and God put Trump in office for that purpose, to reestablish this nation. Now, from Passover this year to Pentecost, God has been saying to men and women around the world, get ready to expect an explosion of my Holy Spirit that will radically shift the nations and their position to bring restoration to families. You say, well, what's this got to do with Israel? What's this got to do with Jerusalem? Well, some of the reasons is, you know, according to history, that's been proven out by the Word of God and now being proven out, there are many, many traditions that are actually true. It's like Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is the Temple Mount. That is where Adam actually offered his first sacrifice. He had to go, Abram, the sacrifice that he had to offer. Adam also had to offer the sacrifice. They had to go from the garden, which I believe was up in Iran, and come down to Mount Moriah to offer the sacrifice. Now, I'll have to give you the scriptures on that a little bit because I'm reading this. Noah had to make his sacrifice there. Abraham had to make his sacrifice there. David and Solomon sent up the temple there. It was Jerusalem where Abraham met with the prince of Salem, with Melchizedek. Abraham offered up Isaac there. Jacob had his dream of the ladder of heaven, going there where the angels ascended and descended. Moses saw the temple being built there. God showed it to him. King David made Jerusalem the capital of Israel back then, and it is till today. The first temple was built there by Solomon. Zerubbabel and Nehemiah built the second temple. So there's so many things. Yeshua, our Lord Jesus, was crucified there. He was also resurrected there. It is the most important historical city in the world where more people come than any other place. They're drawn there. It's the most frequently occupied place in all Scripture. It's mentioned in its occurrence over 800 times. And it's talked about continually throughout the Word of God. And this is a famous saying by the Hebrews about Jerusalem and the temple. It is as the navel that sit in the human body. The land of Israel is the navel of the world, as Jerusalem is the center of the land, so is the sanctuary the center of Jerusalem. The holy place is called the sanctuary, and the ark is in the center of the holy place. And the foundation stone before the holy place was set when the world was formed. So God has honored Israel and Jerusalem so much. So we're literally experiencing a 180-degree turnaround with what happened in the last previous administration in 8 years. And God is calling the bringing forth of reformation that will bring about a release of literally a outpouring of signs, wonders, and miracles. You've heard me talk about it. There's technologies that are offering signs, wonders, and miracles to man, and God is saying his sound, his vibration, the word of the Lord is going to come forth, and there's going to be incredible things happen. We'll receive what we've been tearing for, what we've been crying out for. Men and women, the word of God shows that we're going to go back to being able to live 1,000 years, and some are going to go in through the millennial time period here. I mean, some of us here are going to literally make it into the millennial time period. I truly believe that. I believe we're stepping into a time and a place where it's going to be so amazing that it's going to shake not just the world physically and spiritually, but emotionally in such a way that people are going to break down weeping in the streets in repentance and crying out. I know Eric and several others are ministers on the street and have gone out there. I've done that. I did that for years. And God is saying that his hand is so heavy upon the nation of Israel that he is getting ready to pour out a covering and a blessing that's not been seen since Jesus' time. And he's bringing about a recompense. God is saying, I am coming. I am bringing about a declaration of justice for the saints as they are being persecuted beyond any time, and things are going to turn around. And the injustice that has been done is going to shift, and I'm going to resound through recompense, which means to make amends, to compensate, to reward, to recover loss or harm suffered. It's a synonym to compensate, indemnify, repay, reimburse, pay money back to. God is saying that don't have an anxious heart. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense of God. He is about to do things that we have never seen. And he's going to bring it about in fire. It's going to be just an incredible hand of God that's going to move upon the earth. And it's happening. We're seeing it in third world countries. Now we're starting to see it here because many cities in this nation are literally third world cities. Matter of fact, a couple of states are becoming that way. So God is saying it's a time for my roar to be released. It's a time for my sound, for the vibration, for the shaking of nations is going to come about again. And it's going to come about now. So starting in this month, we can expect literally to see and hear a new clarity. God is saying, I'm going to send out my word, and people are going to be able to receive my word as never before. So therefore, they're going to be able to hear. They're going to be able to recognize what I'm saying, what I'm doing. And in that, they're going to have signs that are going to take place, signs, wonders, miracles. And he's resetting the guidepost. He's literally taking that which has been talked about over history and never realized, and he's bringing it about. So revelation was set aside for an appointed time. He told Daniel, take and set aside these words. Don't even speak them. But now, take a look at what's happening. The word is coming out. New revelation is coming out. That's not false. It's really the word of God, and things are happening. And the word says in Habakkuk 2:3, for the revelation awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it certainly will come, and it shall not delay. So God is saying, consider the sufferings that you've gone through. Not worth comparing to anything compared to the glory of what I'm about to bring. So I know that everyone on this phone call has suffered. I know of no one that has not suffered. Some have suffered more than others, their family members, the things they've gone through. And God is saying, don't compare it to that which I'm about to do, because my glory is being poured out. So it's going to be so great that all of a sudden you're going to gain understanding. It's like the light's going to come on. I guess it was last year. Richard's on the phone, and he said something to me that blessed me beyond understanding, Richard. You said, I finally got it. I got it, Pastor Wade. I got it. And it was what we were teaching and where we were going. And I said to him, if you've got it, it's, and you're the only person that got it, it's worth everything we've done for 5 years. So that was 2 years ago when he said it, because I remember that. And we're in a time when God is saying, it's not just going to be one, it's going to be multitudes. And that which you've gone through is not going to be comparable to that which is about to come. And it's been painful. I mean, there have been circumstances and situations that we just didn't think could get any worse. Injustice, violence. Look at all the people that are being exposed for being prosecuted wrongly and put in jail. Men and women that have been accused of all kinds of things and could not prove their innocence, and now technology is showing that they were innocent, and they're having to be let out, and they're getting recompense. I mean, what good does it do you after 5 years in prison or more? You get millions of dollars, but at the same time, God is saying this is going to happen in the spirit realm. It's going to happen in our lives. So this next week is a week of revelation. This week, as we go into the time of Pentecost, it's a time of feasting. It's a time of breakthrough. So God is saying from the 19th through the 21st, it's the week of feast. And he said right literally that there's going to be a radical shift starting the 21st. So be on the lookout. Be watchful. Listen. And it's so important that we listen to the flow of what God's saying. So the time between Passover and Pentecost is coming to an end. We're coming up on the 50 days, the counting of the Omar, the counting of God's blessings. And the strategies of God are literally coming to the point where the revelation is going to take place. So we're going to hear from God. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. The other morning, I got up, I had a dream and a vision. And God showed me something. It was about Frances. And I woke up, and at breakfast, I told her, and she had a very similar dream. The same props were in it. The same things were in it. Wasn't the same circumstance, but it was the same things. And I had a word of knowledge. And God said, this is something we need to deal with. And immediately God showed it to us and gave us a new breakthrough, a new revelation that brought a breakthrough. We got a phone call on Mother's Day and says, we have somebody that wants to look at a house. Well, do you really want to show your house on Mother's Day? But it's up for sale. And we said, well, sure, we can do that. And it's somebody from overseas. And they put us down for a 5-star rating. I'm hoping they'll make an offer on the house. The point being is that we needed to be in position and be prepared. We had to get up and make the bed, have the house clean, have everything prepared when you're going to present something. Well, God is saying, I want you to be prepared right now. I want your heart to be prepared because you're about ready to present me. You're going to bring about my sound, my revelation through my word, my holiness, my priesthood, my kingship. Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to follow, and I'm going to bring about provision to make it work for you. So don't be afraid. Start rejoicing. As John had a move of the Spirit upon him to start bringing about some teaching on praise. So get your own CDs. Get the Word of God. Get new songs. Start singing. Sing in the Spirit. Let God hear your heartbeat. And let him know that you are loving him for what he's done. And let his mercy bring about the love and the grace and the blessings of the covenant and the promise that you've been waiting for, and it'll be manifest. God is saying, this is the season. This is the week. Just as I said a minute ago, we're starting to walk into the time of suddenness. Outpouring is going to take place. Eric's going to preach to people on the street, and they're going to get saved right away, and they're going to turn their hearts to the Lord. Connie's going to be in the jails, and all of a sudden it won't be two or three. It'll be everybody in that meeting. Gene and David have been called to different studies, different works. Matt's going out and being involved in different works, and all of a sudden the word's going to come forth from you, and it's going to bring about an electric experience, just as God hit me in the stomach Sunday morning. I doubled over with the presence of his anointing. We're literally going to do that in other people's lives. God says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You're going to speak it. You're going to bring about encouragement. You're going to literally see people healed, and some of you are going to see people raised from the dead. So get prepared for the suddenlies. A couple of scriptures that we can look at. Psalms 147:15. He sends forth his command into the earth, and the word runs swiftly. So the word is running swiftly around the world right now, and it's being received. Isaiah 54, shout for joy, O you barren one. And he's not just talking about those that didn't bear children. It's children in the Lord. You know, we are at that season. We're at that time where we're going to give birth. Luke 18, now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cried out to him day and night? How long he has delayed, but he desires to bring about his blessing over them. I mean, he's suddenly coming about with a noise, Act 2:2, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house and where they were sitting, and they all had cloven tongues like fire on their heads. And that was the very thing we started out with. That was the sound of God. That was the Lord being spoke. That was the trumpet being sounded. So God is saying, Revelation 22:12, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render every man according to what he's done. And he's going to bring about a time of possession where you're going to possess your inheritance, you're going to possess the gates of the enemy, and you're going to bring about the suddenlies. And those suddenlies are going to take place in signs, wonders, and miracles. And he's going to shake not only the foundation around you, but yourself, the world, and you're going to be used mightily because you, as the bride, you've been training up these years as being the bride to say something, to do something, to be a part of something, to pray something. God is saying it's time for the Davids. It's time for the Melchizedeks. It's time for that priestly order to rise up and take their place and step forward and do mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. And we're in the season of miracles. It's now. It's no longer how long do we have to wait, Lord. It's now. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, to bring a word of encouragement, and recognize that we're in your season. There's been a shift. There's a shaking. And as David Pendleton said a couple weeks ago, it's a sifting by you. And you're sifting us not downward, but upward. You're taking us through the sifter and going up a next level. We're going up to a higher revelation, a place of unlocking and releasing, a place of the priesthood, a place for our future, a place where we can be recognized by you and those around us will recognize you upon us. It's a time of releasing. It's a time of the shofar sounding. It's a time beyond that which we have known. And we thank you for it. What an honor, what a privilege, Lord, to be alive for such time as this. Bring about protection. Bring about mercy and grace. Cover us with your blood and our family. Wash away anything that's not of you, and let your glory be manifest. In Yeshua Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I do want to do communion, but I don't want to do it right yet, John. I want to hear that other shofar. Let that
you
sound.
Want to hear?
Yeah, let it play it. I want it reverberating within us.
Right here. Decree there's new strength at the gate. Decree there's an ability for you to go on through. decree that you might not see your provision, but your provision is already making a sound out there.
Yeah.
There's sound out there that has your provision in it. Lord, I loose it right now. I decree our eyes are being opened to it. Our ears are being opened to it. Our life is being opened to it. We decree on this historical week a shift that is occurring. Let's give a shout.
We are a people.
There's a stir in the sound, and it's coming. Last month it was prophesied that it would come out of Texas, and that sound has been breaking forth in several different congregations out of here. And there's that shaking. What a blessing. President Geiger, I asked you earlier, you call me and you've got something you want to share, a word.
Thank you, Wade. I have in my hand a book that was written by Perry Stone and Bill Cloud. And believe it or not, they're talking about Republic. let me just read just a little bit of the back cover. And I discovered this from a text or something that somebody sent me a week or two ago, but I went ahead and ordered this package from Perry Stone Ministries. But let me just read just a tiny bit of the back cover of the book. Sadly, few Americans realize that our nation was founded as a constitutional republic, not as a democracy. The founders of America established the republic, understanding that if the nation were to prosper, our society, especially our government, must be based upon biblical principles and not the ever-changing whims of people. The founders left a trail of documents testifying to this fact and also warning us of the internal threats that could destroy our nation. The very things that they warned of are presently gaining prominence in our culture and are greatly contributing to our demise. But anyway, if you're interested in getting that, you can get it from the Perry Stone Ministries. And he's got a CD package that goes along with it called In the Shadow of the Final Beast. and it talks about prophetic things. And while you were talking, and I'm not sure who this is for, but while you were talking, you know, we're transitioning to the kingdom. And here's a saying in the Jewish community, here now, but not yet. In other words, the kingdom of God is here now in our midst, but not yet in fullness. And, you know, everything, every little jot and tittle will be fulfilled in the word of God as we go forward in the reestablishing of the kingdom. And the verse that came to my head, and I looked it up afterwards, Wade, while you were speaking early on in this call, had to do with the fruit. And let me just read it. Leviticus 19:23. And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you should count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. You know, we've done a lot of planting in the Republic since the Republic was refounded. And this verse, it may have significance to us, and I'm just putting it out there in terms of, you know, for the first 3 years, all these things that we plant, they kind of have to lay fallow in the ground. And it's just interesting to me. I kind of look at this book that's in my hand as some of the fruit that's being produced in God's kingdom. And this message no longer needs to fall to the ground. The American people can begin to eat thereof and be nourished by it. Same thing goes with like the Re-Inhabited series, the books. There's a principle, a kingdom principle. Apparently they have to lay dormant for a while. But I'll leave that for some of you. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to some of you on those principles, but when we're talking about the kingdom of God, everything has to be done, every little jot and tittle has to be fulfilled. And so I'm just seeing through a glass darkly and seeing what the Lord may say to some of you. That's all I had, Wade, and thank you for giving me the floor. I yield.
Yes, sir. Powerful. You know, that is an excellent book, and they literally are speaking, recognizing what we are and what we represent in the nation. The times that we're in are so incredibly important to be aware of what God's saying, to be aware of what He's doing in this season. And that's why we, with John, Matt, and I, we try to bring a three-quartered message, a court of three, a bench of three. It's all biblical. Where one brings a teaching, another brings an exhortation. And I more or less bring what is being said now. What is God saying today? Where are we? From the different prophets and what God is saying to me, that we would have a good foundation in recognizing that it's not just the past, it's the present and the future. And He is revealing new things. And the new things that He's revealing is actually old things in a language that we can understand. It's just like Perry Stone. I've had a wonderful chance of, you know, sitting with under them and some teachings that he's been at in Houston, and what a mighty man of God, just like Jonathan Kahn and others.
Wade, one more thing. One
yes,
more
sir.
Thing I meant to share was actually was able to meet Perry Stone about 4 years ago and another pastor in Louisiana. And, you know, I challenged them at the time that they had to take up the mantle you know, the preachers in this country had to begin taking up the mantle of spreading the word of God's republic. And it's just interesting to me that I'm holding this book in my hand now.
Yes.
I don't think I actually said the title of it. The title of it is America's Controversy with God's Covenant. So that's the title of the book. How are you?
Before we go, well, I want to call on Matt. Matt was able to get on the phone. Had other calls to be on, but he was able to get on here right towards the end. Matt, is there something the Lord wants you to share tonight?
Yeah, actually, I'll be quick. I actually did a teaching on, obviously, everything that transpired in Israel with the 70th anniversary. And as I researched that, you know, it was the fifth day of the month of Iyar, which is the Hebrew date for the establishment of the State of Israel, when they actually, the provisional government, signed their Declaration of Independence. And as I looked at that date in 5708, I looked at that month in the Jewish calendar, and it's called the month of Ziv, which is radiance. It's also related to light. That month is also referred to natural healing, for its name is an acronym from I am your God, your healer, which comes out of Exodus 15:26. And as I started to research this, the Holy Spirit told me to look at other scriptures, if anything else in the Bible fell on the fifth day of the month of Iyar. So I did. And you know what came up? Ezekiel 1. So I read that. And, of course, Ezekiel, if you read that, that's the wheel within the wheel and the four creatures, the four faces of God. I mean, it's an incredible encounter that he has there with the glory of the Lord. And he falls on his face in front of the Lord because it's such a powerful experience. And as I looked at it, I looked at Ezekiel. Ezekiel was taken into captivity when he was 25 years old. He had been trained to be a rabbi. He was training in the synagogue and in the temple within Jerusalem. Yet he was taken 700 miles away from where he was trained. So he thought to himself, I'm never going to fulfill what I have been trained to do for God. And I looked at it, and it's amazing when you look at what happened right there in Ezekiel 1. You know, under the rabbi's rule, they had to be 30 years old to start to preach. If you look at Yeshua, Jesus, he was 30 years old when he started to preach. So here is young Ezekiel taken from his home, waiting for that time and season when he would become fully vested into that ministry. So the Lord shows him in Ezekiel 1 through this great vision. He shows the whole kingdom of the Lord in front of him. And something amazing happens to him right then and there, because the Lord commissions him to go to preach to the people and uses them when he just needed to stay faithful. And as I taught on this, the Lord said this. Just like Ezekiel was 25 years old, he says, it is a coming of the age. And that is where we are today. This scripture tied to what happened in Jerusalem and the U.S. Embassy coincided with their 70th anniversary. And us as a body, it's a coming of age. Of all of us, you know, we hear about the sound, and I missed a lot of what you said up front, but I just heard what the President Geiger said, and it is a coming of age. It's coming of us coming into that position and place of authority where that we can step into his newly opened doorways and receive that glorious clarion call that's going to release into the earth, and it's going to change things. Doesn't mean there's going to be a lot of shaking, because there is. But what he said in the Holy Spirit was coming of age. So I just wanted to encourage each of us to realize and seize this time and opportunity that we're witnessing right now, not only in this nation, in Israel, throughout all the land. There's a healing, that healing that we heard about in this month, the healing that's taking place, and we are the ones that are helping bring that about through aligning our hearts with the Lord. And it's a time like no other. So just step in, press in, and allow the Lord to just transform you and allow that to just change just the hearts of man. That's what we need in this day, in this season. And so thank you for all of everyone that's on this call and what you're doing and just being obedient. And Lord, we just praise you and honor you for your heart in this hour, this season, this time, how you're moving, how you're raising us up. Just as President Geiger said, giving us the tools, you know, allowing us to have the revelation to see your fruit, Lord, and to take part in that harvest of the great souls, Lord. We just praise you, and we just want to honor you with our lives and just let your glory ring throughout the land. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to call on some people for some testimony, but I really have the unction that we're supposed to take communion now with what all has been said. If you have your elements, you want to pull them together. You know, we take communion to seal God's word, and anything that's not of the Lord, I ask that it be cast aside. So as we hold on to our elements, I had a prayer I want to pray. Father, we come in Yeshua Jesus' name. We come to once again consecrate ourselves through communion, that our purpose in our lives would be to fulfill the covenant promises of the kingdom. We can do that in this nation. We can do that in the world. We can do that through your word, teaching, preaching, and bringing about that which the promise is. Lord, the road has been long and it's been tough. Many of us are still suffering. Challenges beyond what we know we can do, beyond our strength, Lord. But you said those that wait upon you will renew their strength. We choose to cooperate with the fullness of the time and the season that we're in, that we literally go along and take time to smell the paint dry, smell the roses, do the gardening, do that which we need to do, that we would be in the proper season and time and place for the suddenlies that are about to take place. We long for that strategic timing to come. We ask that your suddenlies would come quickly upon us, and that the weariness would leave us as a new spring day breaks upon us every day, that we can rejoice in you. We're grateful for the shift, Lord God, that you've got us in as you position us to come into the presence of you in our secret places, our temples, within our homes and our offices and our cars, that we are your temple and that you would come and visit us and that you'd bring about a mighty move. Lord, we've heard about the men and women of old that came over to this nation and they settled in Moravian Falls, and to this day it's a place where angels are seen continually, ascending and descending. Lord, there's portals around the nation, around the world, that are open to go into a greater revelation and understanding. And we choose to humble ourselves and repent and ask forgiveness for anything that prevents us from coming into your presence at any time. All we have to do is speak your word and ask, and you allow us to come in your presence. Lord, we might not have the wisdom or understanding, but we ask that you would give us that, and that we would humbly come before you and go into the door, into the place that you bring about healings of broken relationships, of broken bodies, of broken hearts, where we have the opportunity to be restored mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. So we humble ourselves that we could come into your presence with thanksgiving and a grateful heart and gain the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we need to do and walk in for such a time as this. We're in this new season, and we need to press into you. And every time we can, we need to partake of the bread and the body and the blood as a healing and a significance in coming into your presence. So we take the bread and we consecrate it unto you, Lord God, with a thankful heart, that it represents the piercing, the bruising, the stripes, the brokenness that you poured out for us, that we could have a relationship with you. And we take it with thanksgiving now. And Lord, we take the fruit of the vine. And some is going to be grape juice, some is going to be wine. But we take it as a representation of your Holy Spirit and your blood to wash us white as snow, to cleanse us and purify us, that we would be ready for this season, for this time. And that you'd receive the glory as you fill us. And let this fill us to overflowing. One drop of your blood, Lord Jesus, could heal the sins of the world. Let this represent that precious blood and heal us and restore us and bring recompense unto us. In Yeshua Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. I want to call on a couple people to give a word of testimony, and I know you're not expecting it, but that's okay. Before we close, we've got a few minutes here before 9, and I want to close out by 9. Mel, are you still with me? No, Mel got off the call. Man, let me tell you what happened. Sunday night, Bill Newsom, who's one of my dearest friends, and his wife, Linda, he called us, and I didn't answer the call because we're on our phone calls. So. Linda was feeling bad, and he went to get her something, and we came back in, she died.
Wait a minute,
there's a word coming. She was on the floor dead, and Mel was a medic in the Army. And he jumped on her and he called out to the Lord and pounded on her chest and gave her CPR. He called 911. And in 10 minutes, her heart came back and started beating. And her levels, potassium and other things, had gotten so low that her blood pressure went down to nothing and that her heart quit beating. And he beat on her so hard, he cracked her sternum. And Tuesday morning, he called me to tell me about 9 o'clock when he got a hold of me that he had her in the hospital and she was in ICU and she was able to go home Friday.
Praise God.
Yeah. So, you know, he knew what to do physically, but he knew what to do spiritually. He called out to the Lord. For those of you that don't know him, they're wonderful. I got the privilege of marrying them, being their pastor. And we've helped raise money for autistic children for 20-plus years together. It's one of our passions. Linda looks like Linda Carter, except she's about 5'8". Gorgeous woman. She suffered greatly. She has degenerative bone disease, and she's been through an awful lot. She's got more metal in her than some motorcycles. And she's kept, you know, she's been able to go on, but that shook me up. It could happen to any of us at any time. I've been at death's door 20-some times and been brought back, and God has protected me and saved me because I'm not done yet. Most of you aren't done yet, but it could happen in a second. we're at a time in the season of great things taking place. And our word for us is to bring the word. The phone call I got the other day was, it might seem like things have slowed down, but they're slowed down because we're about to have a God moment. And he wants us to stop and smell the roses, smell the pink rye, because he wants us to recognize that we're in his hands and we've got to enjoy the journey. It's our responsibility on this call as leaders to feed the hungry, and that's all of us. We're all hungry. And we've got to go forth because our job is to train up leaders, and that's you. You're not somebody sitting in a congregation. You're a leader. And we have a race to run. And God is calling out, and he says, whosoever will join the race can run the race and complete it. And he's got a race that we're in. So every word that we partake of, we eat of, we concentrate on, we press into, every experience we have with Holy Spirit and going up higher and going into new revelation, it's for you. It's for you as the bride. It is our call. That's what we're supposed to do here. I'm not supposed to have a congregation out there, a church right now. I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing. And Matt and John, and when God says for us to leave, that's when we'll leave. But until then, we're going to do what God's told us to do. We have to recognize the truth, every word that he says. And it comes from many different resources. It's all out of the Word of God, but it's also coming from Revelation. And, you know, our job is to bring that and to show each and every one of you the love of our Father. So we're not going to hold back. We're going to actually bring more depth. We're going to start bringing some very strong things, and some will not be able to receive it at the time, and others will. We're going to start bringing some revelation of things that he's showing us and others, because it's time. We're in that season. We're in that time period where it's getting short, and we don't really know how quick that is. It could be hundreds of years. It could be tomorrow. All the signs of this last 2 years need to be recognized. And I went away from teaching on end time simply because I turned more people away than I got in. Because it can be very hard when you're teaching on end times and you miss a single date. So years ago, God says, quit teaching on the end time as being now and teach on me as being now. So as we press in to grow this call, we're going to start reaching out again. And I want each and every one of you to start reaching out and invite somebody. Many of you have taught, and you're going to have more opportunities to teach. At least once a month, we're going to have a teacher from now on. And then we're going to have other opportunities, and we're going to join in to other national calls to expand the word and to expand our mission as Republic and as Kingdom people and as part of the bride. So we're going to intentionally bring a harder revelation. At the same time, we're going to humble ourselves more so in prayer with thanksgiving to see and hear what God is saying. And it's to bring it to you and for you to disseminate it and for you to help bring up others. It's not that we have all the answers. We just know who the answer is. And many of you do. Some of you have done some excellent work. You know, Gene and David are always out there. Mark has done a wonderful job. John Underwood's going to be coming up in the first part of July. Monty's done some things. Many of you have done things. And your prayers and your input over these years has been wonderful. And now we're going to step it up. I'm going to start calling on more of you for prayer. I'm going to start calling on more of you for teaching and to bring a word of encouragement, a word of reproof, a psalm, a hymn, a tongue, an interpretation, that we can be that which God has called us to be, that we can press in and fulfill calling. So it's time to possess the gates of our future. It is time to grab hold and not let the enemy shake us off, to receive the message that God wants us to bring and allow ourselves to dream big again in the Lord and not let the secret state, not let the corporate state shake us with the enemy's lies. But if we just keep bringing the Word of God and not so much concerned about politics as the God's politics, the kingdom, on this call, then we're going to see great fruit, and this is the season of fruit. So we're trying to prepare ourselves for the times that we're coming into and the suddenlies that are coming about, and that you would all benefit from it, and we get to be blessed by it. So that's what I wanted to say to you tonight to encourage you. Now, I'm asking Holy Spirit to give me something. So Mark, the Lord has said something to you this last couple of days. And is it something you can share? He's been speaking to you about something through Holy Spirit.
Well, what I have to share tonight, when I'm reading the Bible, I have a journal sometimes that I like to keep. And if there's something of special meaning that I'm reading in the Bible, to me at least, I'll write it down, or whether it be an entire psalm. Sometimes it's just a thought in a psalm or in a Bible passage. And what I have tonight is the entire psalm of Psalm 26 to share with you. I'll just read that. Okay, so Psalms 26 says, "Dismiss all the charges against me, Lord, for I have tried to keep your laws and have trusted you without wavering. Cross-examine me, O Lord, and see that this is so. Test my motives and afflictions too. For I have taken your loving kindness, your truth, as many ideals. I do not have fellowship with tricky, two-faced men. They are false and hypocritical. I hate the sinner's hangouts and refuse to enter them. I wash my hands to prove my innocence and come before your altar, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling about your miracles. Lord, I love your home, the shrine where the brilliant, dazzling splendor of your presence lives. Don't treat me as a common sinner or murderer who plots against the innocent and demands bribes. No, I'm not like that, O Lord. I try to walk a straight and narrow path of doing what is right. Therefore, in mercy, save me. I publicly praise the Lord for keeping me from slipping and falling." And that just seemed to speak to me quite a bit. It fits to what I'm trying to be. And I'm glad I could share that with you. And with that, that's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, when I say something like that, it's not that I, Mark and I haven't talked. It's just the Holy Spirit said, I'm looking at all the people that are on this, and he said, Mark's been, you know, he's been talking to Mark the last couple of days, so there it was. I'm not going to keep anybody else on. We're supposed to close now. And I know there's many of you that might have things to say, but I will be calling off. But we need to go ponder what God has said tonight. Get ready for the suddenlies. Get ready for this week. Get out your word and look at Pentecost. Look at going up to Pentecost and the feast. And let God prepare you. And you're going to see mighty things happen. John, is there anything else you want to share?
No, I'm glad. I was really quite disturbed about Mel and his wife. I'm glad that you gave the rest of the story on that. That was a shock to me to hear what you had to say, at least the first part of it. But other than that, no. I bet.
He cried out to the Lord while he was, you know, pounding on her chest. "Don't let her go, Lord. I need her." And I wanted him to bring it, but he already left. So,
Yeah, he got off just about 5 seconds before you asked him to come.
Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, you know, she spent, she didn't come on Friday. She came on Mother's Day. That's right, because I sent her flowers, and it was her birthday on Saturday, and then Mother's Day on Sunday. So she was taking them home. She'd gotten them on Friday. But wonderful people, just wonderful, wonderful people. And Mel and I are old cowboys, and we were as wild as you can get, you know, and that we've come where we are today is an interesting story, a whole nother story. So anyhow, I want to thank everybody. We're going to close. Go seek the Lord for a few minutes. Just spend a few minutes of quiet with him. And I'm sure the Lord will say something to you and to us about this next week. And I'll be talking to some of you this week on the phone. Seeing you and David, blessings to you. You know I love you. Always great to have you around and to talk and share with you guys. President Geiger, thank you so much for sharing. And Matt, I thank you for making it on after your other call, your teaching. So, blessings to everybody, and I say good night. And may the Lord watch over you and keep you. May the blood of Jesus cover you. May the angels encamp around you and your family. And may he give you rest this night. Shalom, and good night.
Good night.
Shalom.